I have to tell all of you a little story. Amy inspired me. Amy always inspires me. But when I was in the Wyalusing Church, one Easter Sunday, there was a young woman who came to church with her three young boys. She had three boys under the age of five. And she came in with like the world's largest purse you've ever seen. And she sat like in the second row up front so that I would see her and her kids. And all through the service, I just kept watching her pull stuff out of that bag. One item after another item after another item. Cheerios, toys for them to play with, wipes to clean them up and everything. And I just thought, like, this is the most amazing mother I've ever seen, because her three boys behaved so well in church that day. She just, you know, knew, had everything in that bag for them. But the kicker was this. This is true now. When the service was all done, I saw her pull out of the bag a dustbuster. And she cleaned up the pew where she was sitting with her boys. So I kept waiting for Amy to pull dustbuster out of that bag. The passage of scripture that we have is, it's part of what in my mind may be the greatest chapter ever written. The eighth chapter of Romans is just so full of truth and of wisdom. And we're only going to read 13 verses out of it, 14 verses actually out of it. But it's one of those chapters that if I had the ability to memorize things well, instead of having a memory verse, I would have a memory chapter. And this would be the eighth chapter of Romans, because it is just so full of good stuff. And now, the problem with it is that in many people's minds, this portion that I'm going to be reading is one of those portions that has become associated with funerals. This is a very oftentimes selected passage that families would like to have read when they have lost somebody that they loved. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. But this is really a passage that is an everyday sort of passage. This is a passage of Scripture that can guide and direct us in any situation of our lives, in good times and in bad times, in the ups and downs, in the ins and outs of life. This has a great deal of wisdom for all of us to consider. So in the eighth chapter, towards the end, beginning with the 26th verse. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word to all of us. This is a passage which is oftentimes associated with the hard times of our lives, but I do not think it ought to be. I think it ought to be a part of our lives day in and day out. Because in every day of our lives, we have decisions that we make, we have struggles that we go through, we have areas that we deal with in our lives. And we need to always remember that God is with us in every situation, in the good and in the bad. He is always present with us. One of the things that I love about this passage is that first section about praying and how the Holy Spirit is with us. And because there are so many times in our lives where we're just not quite sure how to pray. And more often than not, we think of that in the hard times where we just, you know, where we're struggling to find the words, but sometimes we're just not even sure how to pray in the good times. I had somebody just a week or so ago asked me the question of, can he pray for something that might be construed as being selfish? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, most of us, our first response would be, well, you probably ought not to pray for something that's purely selfish. You ought not to pray for something to, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, I don't buy lottery tickets, but, you know, obviously I don't want to be in a position where I'm praying that my lottery ticket wins. You know, I can tell you right now that that's probably not a good prayer. But there are those times in our lives where we're not sure how to pray, and we're not sure whether we ought to pray. And that's the time when the Holy Spirit can be with us. Because I think that the key that Paul is trying to help us to see is that God is in a constant relationship with us, even when we don't realize it, even when we're not sure how to pray or what to pray, or you know, even when we don't even realize that we're praying, the Holy Spirit is still with us and interceding for us. And that's so good to know. So the question is never whether something is an appropriate prayer or not. The question is never whether we ought to pray or not. The question is being in relationship with God and understanding his presence in our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in every aspect of our lives. Because even when we're not sure whether this is something we ought to be praying for, even asking that question is a prayer. And the Holy Spirit is making that prayer understandable to God, is our communicator, is our guide in prayer. I think that's wonderful. Because there's so many times in our lives when we just don't know how to pray, and to know that we have the Holy Spirit within us, taking our thought process, taking the churning in our stomach, whatever it might be, and turning it into a conversation with God, allowing God to come into our hearts and into our lives to guide and direct us in any decision and in every situation. The other element of this, and you know, I got to be honest with you folks, I should never have taken a big chunk of text like this to preach on, because there are like 82 sermons in this text that I want to do. And so if you're not out of here by 11, you're going to have to go, because the 11 o'clock congregation is going to want to be here. But it is just so chock full of good stuff in here. And one of the misunderstandings of this passage, and this is kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard for me, is that some people take this passage and they think that what it is saying is that God predestined everything to happen. That if something happens to us, it's because God caused it to happen. And more often than not, when I hear it being said, it's in some negative situation. You know, somebody is going through a tragedy and I've often thought, someday I'm going to write a book entitled Things Not to Say in the Funeral Home. Because I don't know how many times in the funeral home I've heard somebody come up and say, well, you know, God has a plan and God did this according to his plan. And that's, you know, a tragedy happens, somebody dies in a car accident or something. To say that God caused that or to say that God planned that or that was part of God's predestination for this situation is missing the point of this passage by 180 degrees. Because what this passage is telling us is that God is with us in every situation. And that in every situation, no matter how dire the situation may be, no matter how difficult the situation may be, no matter how hurtful the situation may be, God is able to bring some good out of it. God is able to redeem that situation. That's what God's plan is. That's what God predestines us for, is for situations and for us to be redeemed, for some good to come out of even the worst of situations. God doesn't cause the bad situations to happen, but God is present when those situations happen and is working with us to redeem the situation. And another element of this is kind of like my pet peeve day, so I'll get another pet peeve out of the way on you. One of my pet peeves is the phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle. Sorry, my blood pressure is going up right now just thinking about that phrase. God doesn't give you those difficulties to handle. And secondly, whatever the situation is, it's not for us to handle alone. We will never find ourselves, I'll rephrase it for you, you can use this phrase and I'll be happy with you. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can always remind ourselves that with God's help, we can get through it. Because that's what this passage is talking about. It's talking about how God carries us through the difficulties of life. How God is for us in every situation. There isn't a situation you can be in that God will not be with you, carrying you, leading you, directing you, giving you the strength that you need to get through that particular situation. It's not a matter of being given a task that you can handle. It's about God being present and handling anything that falls upon you. You see, it all comes down to that last portion of the 8th chapter where Paul does such a great summation. And I love Paul's writing because, you know, sometimes he goes overboard a little bit, and that's okay. And he runs through that whole litany of things that could possibly separate us from the love of God. And he just keeps adding more things. So whenever I read this passage, I just picture Paul sitting there writing this out. And he goes, oh, well, this can't separate. Wait, one more thing, that can't separate. Nope, wait, one more thing, that can't. You know, and as if he keeps coming up with a litany of things that some people might think could separate us from the love of God. But then that simple phrase, there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God. You see, he went through that whole litany of possibilities of things that could separate us from God, and to say, nope, 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 nope. And he gets to the end and he says, just in case I missed anything, let me make this clear. There is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And that's the point of the 8th chapter, that he wants us to see. That no matter what the situation, no matter how dire the times, no matter how difficult things may be, no matter how discouraged we might get, no matter how low our lives might feel, God is there. And if God is for us, what difference does anything else make? If God is for us, what difference does it make if anybody else is against us? That's the love from which we cannot be separated. That's the love that is ever present with us, holding us up, carrying us along, bearing us when we need to be carried, walking side by side with us when we're able to walk on our own strength. If we have that love, if we have that love that is so deep and broad and so rich and so pure, then what difference does anything else make? That's what Paul wants us to see. And Paul would know. You see, this is one of the last things Paul ever wrote. And his was not an easy lot in life. So he knew what he was speaking of. And he's sharing from his heart to all of our hearts about what really matters in life. And what really matters is having God in our hearts, his love abiding with us, his Spirit ever present with us, taking care of us day in and day out. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, what a great gift it is that you have given to us, an immeasurable gift, the gift of your love, a gift freely given, a gift that nothing in this world or in the world yet to come could ever steal away from us. Oh, Heavenly Father, remind us in our hearts and in our lives that if we have that love, everything else is secondary. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake.